Chapter 7. The Mysteries of Krishna. In the ancient scriptures of the mysteries, one can read of greater and lesser light-bearers who appeared in the world. These light-bearers came at just the right time, and in circumstances completely in accordance with mankind's state of consciousness, to extend a saving hand to mankind, whose divine consciousness had become wholly darkened in order to protect it from even further decline. One of the greatest of these divine messengers of the light was undoubtedly Sri Krishna. It has been established that he lived about 5,000 years ago, and that his glorious and imperishable revelation must have taken place at about that time. When we study the story of his life in the countless books and legends about him, it becomes clear that he was the greatest of the Hindu teachers and the peer of any of the great teachers this world has ever known. Everything we read about him strikes us as very familiar, probably because the whole life story of this savior of 5,000 years ago corresponds to that of Jesus the Lord. The similarities are so striking that the mysteries of Krishna provide us with overwhelming proof of a universal doctrine that has but one language, and of the perfectly attuned tasks of all the truly great teachers. In this connection, we may rightly speak of a universal doctrine, a doctrine neither old nor new, but one that has always existed, as Jesus said, the same yesterday and today. The limitations of all Christian theology are clearly revealed when we compare its concept of Christ with the truth regarding the universal Christ intervention. The words spoken by Jesus the Lord to his disciples, "Before Abraham was, I am," are explicitly confirmed when we study the life of Krishna. The Krishna of 5,000 years ago and the Jesus of approximately 2,000 years ago are, as divine manifestations, one and the same. It is said that Krishna, like Jesus the Lord, was born of a virgin. He was born in a cave or stable, and his birth, just like that of Jesus, was announced by a star. Krishna's birth was also followed by a slaughter of infants, intended to remove him from the face of the earth, and he too accomplished miraculous healings. He shed his blood for mankind, and like Jesus, is depicted hanging on a cross. He also descended into hell, rose again from the dead, and ascended into heaven. Both names, Krishna and Christ, have the same meaning. Christ was called the Good Shepherd, Krishna, the Shepherd. Krishna was also tempted by Satan, and, like Jesus, he experienced transfiguration. He too preached a sermon on the Mount and played an important role in miraculous catches of fish. Just as Jesus received the homage of Mary Magdalene, a harlot, so we read of a similar case in regard to Krishna. In fact, so many comparisons can be drawn that any suggestion that the similarity is purely coincidental can be dismissed as absurd. The superficial view that the Gospels were borrowed from ancient writings must also be rejected definitely by anyone who has the slightest knowledge of esoteric matters. Only one conclusion is actually possible, that throughout the ages, just one immutable message has been transmitted to mankind. This one unchangeable message of light can only change in color and form, in concept and vibration, when dialectical man, though in good faith, is unable to penetrate to the correct understanding of it, and nevertheless wants to take up this message of light and pass it on to others. One of the first tasks of every pupil of a bona fide spiritual school is to free himself completely from every racial, national, or cultural religious affiliation. The pupil may not be specifically Eastern or Western oriented. His foundation must rest upon the universal, the divine word itself. To such a pupil, it will be granted to discover and understand every great world teacher as being the same yesterday and today. He will then never be lacking in respect and gratitude to such a teacher, whoever that teacher may be. If you experience your Christianity in this way, you will always be a universalist and never a sectarian. You will then be open to the great influx of divine grace which surrounds this fallen world in loving concern. This divine grace offers you the possibility to understand something of the mysteries of Krishna, so that you may then experience these mysteries inwardly, just as you experience the mysteries of Christ. We fervently hope that you will understand these words in every fiber of your being. The great universal mystery is based on the fact that there is a possibility for every human being to lift himself out of the mire of nature and sin and return to the immovable, imperishable kingdom. That is the one fundamental mystery, the primary nucleus around which everything else revolves. Of what use would all the divine sublimity and glory be to fallen man if there were no possibility, no opportunity to elevate himself to this mystery? It is therefore our intention to speak to you about this universal mystery, so that we may discover it together and see it clearly before us. If we succeed in this, the way of salvation will be open to you and we shall have accomplished our task, for then you will be linked with the most imperishable treasure that can be offered to you here. The blood and the autonomic nervous system are governed and controlled by the astral force of this planet. This astral force is the most degenerated, the most sunken basic force of dialectical nature. On the one hand, this planetary astral fluid dominates the spinal force, which forms the basis of the consciousness and of the mentality. On the other hand, astral forces control all the ethers and thus maintain every physical structure. If the pupil studies this situation, he will realize that he can be saved only by means of a new astral power. It is through this power alone that he can become capable of raising his thinking to the level required to grasp fully the divine goal. When that level of understanding is achieved, his actions will come into conformity with it. This, in turn, is the prerequisite for assimilation of the four holy foods, which leads, ultimately, to total regeneration. This is the path that every Freemason needs to take if he is to approach the divine goal. It is in this way that the Universal Brotherhood extends to us the redeeming astral fluid. It is in order to establish this fluid indissolubly within our life sphere that great world teachers have appeared in our midst throughout the ages. They have succeeded one another with divine regularity in order to maintain this mighty stream of grace and guide it along the best possible course. These lofty spiritual teachers did not come only to bring doctrines, to preach, and to write. No, their task and their mission, among other things, was to preserve intact the holy etheric substance for those who were spiritually earnest in treading the way of peace, which leads to the eternal doors of the new life. So those great ones were not sent to serve dialectical man. They came, as is said of Jesus, as servants of the kingdom of God, as doers of the eternal word. Surely you will agree with this, for you know that a pure force cannot maintain itself for long in a degenerate and corrupt environment. And since the sinful life of dialectical mankind is a static condition, one can imagine that a redeeming power would soon withdraw from this dark, earthly crypt if there were no focal points to which it could be directed. That is why this saving and liberating power manifests itself again and again in our darkness, with a love that the human consciousness cannot grasp, in order that everyone who wishes to walk the path of sanctification, whether he lived 5,000 or 2,000 years ago, or is living in the present, can make use of the universal mystery to his own eternal salvation. If you have understood this in the right way, you will understand why Lucifer is placed in opposition to Christ in the holy language of Christianity. For Lucifer is the symbol of the astral power of this nature, in which the redeeming substance is not present. Since Christ radiates only the redeeming life prana, he is the new morning star who comes to offer us the mana of life. The redeeming astral force of the Universal Brotherhood, which we receive again and again, is therefore rightly referred to as blood, as a blood sacrifice. That is why it is literally correct to say, the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us of all our sins. Astral force is connected with the blood and with the sympathetic nerve fluid. The heart is the great entrance gate for astral force, not just symbolically or philosophically, but also anatomically, physically. So when it is said that we must offer our hearts to Him who is the Lord of our lives, we can understand why this is asked so urgently of us. But it is also important for the pupil to know in what way he must open his heart for the redeeming divine prana, for only then can this divine life force be absorbed by the blood and by the life system as a whole. The results of this will then surely not be long in manifesting themselves. In the mysteries of Krishna, there is a dialogue between the priest-initiate and the candidate. When the teacher asks, "Who knocks at the door?" the pupil answers, "The good shepherd." When the teacher goes on to ask, "Who went before you?" the answer is, "The three robbers." And when the question is then asked, "Who will come after you?" the candidate answers promptly, "The three murderers." When a pupil from the depths of his life struggle invokes the redeeming prana, he knocks at the door. He then receives the answer that the redeeming astral force will be granted to him when it is certain that he will safeguard this fluid of salvation as carefully as a good shepherd safeguards his sheep. The universal brotherhood is assured of this when the pupil himself is deeply conscious of the fact that the three robbers have preceded him. This means that his three sanctuaries, the head, the heart, and the pelvic sanctuary, have been desecrated by the reality of sin and robbed of their true adornments. This is the reason why the human being of today possesses only a shadow of his former glory. If the pupil recognizes this, then he can also comprehend that the threefold unholy temple, which is the consequence of this robbery, must be totally demolished, and that he himself must therefore die a threefold death as to nature. For this reason, the call for help must be followed by the three murderers who bring with them the process of transfiguration. In this lies the key to the universal mystery that is the same yesterday and today, and to the frequently used aphorism, "When the pupil is ready, the master is there." If you truly wish to walk the path of this universal mystery, and you know that this path means transfiguration, then these words will also become true for you. "Seek and you shall find, knock and it shall be opened unto you." The dialogue which will then take place between the priest-initiate and his candidate will amply demonstrate the extremely healing and liberating results. Therefore, we fervently hope that you have understood in the right way that the divine saving stream, the redeeming astral fluid, has been preserved until this very hour by the untiring sacrifice of the great ones. The saving astral fluid is also signified by the symbolic River of God in the New Jerusalem. In other words, the mystery of Krishna 5,000 years ago and the mystery of Christ 2,000 years ago will also be the mystery of the future. As long as there are still fallen souls wandering through the world of dialectics, this universal mystery will radiate its power. In the spiritual school of the Rosy Cross, we must learn to distinguish clearly between the two astral forces found in this world. The pupil must completely neutralize and detach himself from the one power. Then, through this liberation, he must approach the other in order to obtain a link with it. You must be able to clear a path for yourself in order to find the one true way. That is the purpose of the lesser mysteries, to find and to consolidate the one great mystery. There is an astral force of this planetary nature, and another astral force which, although alien to this nature, is maintained here by the Universal Brotherhood, so that everyone, by means of it, may find their path of return to the house of the Father. Every hierophant of the divine astralis is called the Good Shepherd, or the Door. "I am the door of the sheep," says Christ, "and whoever enters this door will find the way, the truth, and the life." Finally, we urge you to try to understand this universal, arcane wisdom as a profound and true mystery. The sacrifice of Krishna 5,000 years ago proved insufficient to save wandering mankind, as did the sacrifice of Christ 2,000 years ago. That is why many hierophants, working with multitudes of helpers, are active to this very hour in an effort to affirm the essence of Christ's sacrifice. So for anyone who truly wishes to be saved from this state of death, the fundamental problem must be, how can I establish contact with the redeeming astral fluid and, hence, with the divine spinal fluid? Through this, the correct assimilation of the four holy foods will take place. The spiritual school would gladly help you solve this problem. If you wish to accept this help, it is essential that your soul becomes still in openness before the universal divine intervention. Then, the delusions of terrestrial life will become distasteful to you, and you will see the worthlessness of the gold of this world. The quieter your soul becomes, the more clearly you will understand the universal language which transcends time and space. You will know then that eternal truths, such as those of Christ and Krishna, are the same yesterday and today.